12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
And welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 16, our Call of Cthulhu actual play. My name is Wes Otis, and I have some wonderful people here. Let us start with Lev.
Hi, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns, and today I'll be playing Roberta Robbie Cerillos Veshi.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac Beauvais, and today I am playing Lenore Von Mori, also known as Cass Richardson.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. And today I am playing Imani DeVoe, who uses she, her.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am playing Belle Bellington, someone who apparently likes alliteration.
Hello, everybody. My name is Candace. My pronouns are they, she, and I am playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
So this is a great place for a recap. In the last episode, we talked to a lot of primal entities. We started with Death, who was a super fan of Lenore, liked her show a lot, and tried to explain some of the universe to Robbie. But Robbie has a lot of questions, and there's only so much time in the day. We're dreaming this entire encounter, they found out, when they ran their car into a tree outside of Penelope's and then ended up spending the night there. Meanwhile, we jump over to Evie and Belle, who went over to Patty Wells' place after finding out she had been dispatched by some kind of animal attack in her apartment, which is very rare. I mean, you know, it can happen, I guess. It just cat just waiting for you somewhere and just attacks you. But they think it was a mountain lion. Definitely not P22. Listen to the after show if you don't know what that is. They found a heart that was still beating next to a broken jar with some Egyptian hieroglyphs on it underneath her bed. During this whole investigation, Hathor, Ra's wife and the goddess of fertility and love and being just smoking hot, showed up in a mirror and talked with Evie briefly, you know, said, hey, you're in danger. Sekhmet is part of me. I am part of her. We have been separated and we need to come back together, but did not explain in God fashion how you get them back together because gods are contradictory and annoying like that. We then go over to Imani, who had a really, really rough night with Rose and decided after finding Johnny, the photographer, in her tub and had to call the police, decided to sleep at a motel. And all of you showed up in what looked to be a large, empty war room with War. And he told you basically he wants the entire world to fight and you all to die so that he can stop existing, which you guys didn't really dive into, but is incredibly depressing if you really think about it. It's really sad. War obviously needs some help with that. That's not a good thing. And I will say that if you ever feel like that, please make sure that you get the help that you need. And you make a phone call because these are fictional characters, but we all go through depression. So make sure that you guard yourself. The end of last episode was all of you showing up for brunch at Penelope's because you had talked about it in the dream. You all are sitting around a large table. And while you're talking, Robbie notices that Penelope slips in behind the door, the big medieval door that's at the end of the hallway that she's been told she's not allowed to go through. And Easter is between the kitchen and that door, kind of watching both sides. And that's where we're picking it up today. All of you are together for once. it's only episode 16, but all of you are together at once and on the same page and kind of have a idea of what's going on. You all sit down, you have food in front of you. Even though you feel like you were up all night, you do feel oddly rested in a way. Who would like to start talking?
Are there mimosas? Can't have brunch without mimosas.
I think there probably is. It's the 1950s.
Imani is quiet and makes herself a mimosa where it's 99.99% Prosecco and just a splash of orange juice for color.
Make it two, Imani, darling, please.
Dead silent, though. Mm. Makes another one, slides it to Evie.
Belle is more of a Bloody Mary type of gal, so.
Of course Belle's a Bloody Mary type of gal.
Michelle is not, but Belle definitely.
I think Ebony is like double fisting it. She like takes a sip of like black coffee with a little bit of sugar in it and then is like, ugh. And then takes a sip of the champagne, like the mimosa, and is like, ugh.
We're doing our best today.
Robbie's made a reciprocal mimosa to Imani, so it's like almost entirely orange juice and then like a little boop of Prosecco.
Just to make it bubbly. Just a little bit.
So now that we're not being listened to by war, Robbie and I did have an interesting visitor yesterday.
Who was it? I actually am kind of, you know, intrigued. Some stuff Robbie said. Death.
Yeah, like the counterpart death to the war that we've been encountering.
What did he want with you? I mean, you're still standing.
Right.
Well, I mean, first of all, he was a huge fan, which was absolutely bizarre.
I don't know. That checks out to me. I have to tell you, if I met Vanity and they didn't ask for an autograph, I'd be insulted.
Imani just grabs her mimosa, just takes a sip, like... Y'all are weird.
I'm all crunching on the celery of the Bloody Mary.
Unfortunately, I feel like we got not a lot of help from the encounter.
Well, there was the information that war isn't supposed to interact with us this much. And he's not a soldier, but he's the feelings or something like that. But that's... I don't know. He's not supposed to interact with us this much, or according to Death, war isn't, and war is not a soldier. He's a feeling. Like what did he say? Like a universe feeling or something like that.
It was really difficult to parse out, and it's doubly difficult to explain. But yes, it's something akin to more of a feeling and a sensation, and that. War, along with Death and their other siblings, are manifestations that we've brought about, humanity has brought about, more than anything else.
I think what's got me confused the most is what any of us have to do with it.
Death didn't have an answer for that either. And that's the big question, isn't it?
Well, I think the bigger question has to do with human existence, because it seems like war... no longer wants human existence. War wants us all gone so that he may be gone. So that's the biggest question facing us right now.
That's kind of sad, actually, when you think about it.
It's very sad, but it's also terrifying.
Well, that too. That too.
So suddenly Penelope reappears just out of nowhere as you're saying this. And she goes, I would imagine being mortal would be... taxing after a while. If there's no change in your existence, would you really want to continue to be that thing? And then she just picks up a drink and sits down at the end of the table.
You'd imagine being mortal.
Doesn't everyone imagine like living forever at some point in their life? I mean, it's like, I think that people fear death. I know I do. I don't want to necessarily die, but I'm just trying to think from a point of view of if you're alive forever, how do you handle that?
Evie looks at Robbie with like the most suspicious face in the world and then like looks at Penelope and then like looks back at Robbie like, yeah?
I'm really, really bad at picking up on what people are trying to tell me with their face. I'm really, really sorry.
Well, I mean, I've never been shy. Why are we having this conversation in front of her? Do we trust her? Do you trust her? What is going on here? She just comes in. I understand this is your kitchen and everything. You have every right to be here, Penelope. But really, are we just going to have this conversation out in the open like everything's fine?
Oh, I can leave. I can leave.
Well, I did have a question for you, though, because that... So, you remember how you gave me rules about staying in your house? I didn't break them. I just thought about it.
Okay, I understand that curiosity and all.
But when I went to go look at the door, there was a person there, and by a person I mean a god, and by a god I mean Bastet. Like, she's the one that told me that war is war, and also that your cat is the general of the Dreamland, and not to mess with the door. And I'll turn to Evie. I kind of assumed that she's in on all of this because this is in her house and there's a bunch of books in her house that I also wasn't allowed to look at. So I just kind of figured she knew something. I don't know exactly what. What do you know? Turning back to Penelope.
She looks kind of dumbfounded, like, wow, that was a lot to take in all at once. And she goes, wait, you're saying the cat that I'm got that showed up on my doorstep is a general.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you knew.
And that you spoke to the cat.
Yeah. Easter, come here. Come here, Easter.
Easter hops up on your lap.
I'm going to pick him up.
I'm trying to read Penelope's body language.
Actually, if you all want to give me psychology rolls, would be good for that.
Okay, cool. I don't have anything in that.
Yeah, nor do I.
Oh, I have an amount in it.
But you can still make a try.
Aw, man.
Ooh, 26 under my 35.
16 over my 10.
Oh, so close.
97 over my 10.
Sam, you can spend luck.
Remind me how luck works again.
Well, how many luck points do you have right now?
55.
So you can take as many of those 55 points to put into your skill to lower it to the point where you need to.
So you could use 6 points to get it to 10, but those luck points are gone.
I'll do that then. I will use 6 of those points to knock this down to a 10 so I hit right on it.
So now you're at 49.
And I got 38 under 40.
She seems genuinely baffled by what you all are talking about in regards to the cat. To Easter. She's like, Easter talked to you and is like, what? Now, she has said in the past that she does believe in the supernatural and that her aunts and her grandmother and her grandaunts were all very, very into the occult and everything. And so she does believe those things are real, but you get the sense that she doesn't seem to have much interaction with them. It doesn't mean she's not open to the concept. It just means that she's taken aback by this because she does believe in some things.
Okay, surprise. Yes, your cat is a general of the Dreamland. I don't know if he can talk to anyone else. I genuinely do realize that this sounds impossible and unlikely, and like I'm having a psychotic break. I'm not.
Well, Robbie, if you're having a psychotic break, all of us are.
Okay, great. Yes, excellent. I don't believe any of you are either, because we all experience the same thing. I can talk to this cat. That's just a fact. I don't have a way to prove it to you, I've realized, because if I do the thing to talk to the cat, you'll just assume that I'm making it up. But if I bonk heads with him, I bonk heads with Easter. Hi, Easter.
Hello.
I'm not sure how to prove to them that I'm talking to you right now, but I am, and I just wanted to say hello. Thank you. He said hi back. There's no reason for you to believe that he said hello back. But for some reason, I can talk to this cat, and he's a general of the Dreamland, and for some reason, I can go into dreams, and sometimes you guys can go into dreams, and this is just a reality, and I'll turn back to Penelope. We talked to death and war last night. There's that. Everything's weird and scary. Also, Bastet told me to talk to all of you about not being violent and leaning away from war, which was a thing we were talking to war about last night. I don't know what our place in this is, and I'm very confused, and I don't like being this confused. And that's all I have to say right now, I think. Penelope, would you like to try and talk to your cat?
Sure.
Okay, just bonk heads with him.
She bonks heads with him and says hello, and Easter doesn't say anything back to her.
Oh, Easter. He does it. I promise. I don't know why just with me, but I promise he does it.
He looks at you with a very cat face, if that makes sense.
Don't give me that face.
But no, he doesn't respond to her for some reason.
Okay, well, I realize that's even more reason not to believe me, and I...
No. I don't think this is some kind of mental break. I think that something happened that has caused this belief. I'm with you, Robbie. I'm not quite sure what we can do about it. You had mentioned that you would like access to the books, and it sounds like since all of you are in agreement that these things are happening, that, you know, it might be best that you take a look at them. I have always been told to stay away, to keep them safe. I was told the knowledge inside was too dangerous. It was weird. They don't want to destroy the books, but if the knowledge is too dangerous, why hold on to them? But Eugenia was a not odd, but strong personality.
I had one more thing to mention. I know I've talked a lot and I'm really sorry. But one of the last things that I remember that Bastet, that's the goddess I met, Bastet, she was so pretty. The last thing that she told me was to stay away from her sister. And I think she said her sister had a lion's head.
Sekhmet?
Yes, that ties into me and Belle's thing.
Yeah, what's your thing that happened?
Y'all are having just the weirdest nights.
We went to look at where Patty Wells lived, because, you know, there was a lot of stuff that didn't make it into the paper. We went, and it looked like she had been attacked by a large animal, probably a lion. It was not a pretty scene. We also found a heart that was still beating, and it had some sort of symbol carved onto it. We found another symbol on the floor under the rug.
Do you remember what it looks like?
Yes, I wrote it down. I drew it down. I show her the steno pad that I had with me. Evie, I'll let you take your part of the story from here.
Actually, I was wondering with the symbol, can I do an occult roll about it? All right. I got a 10 under my 60.
It is a corruption of an Ong. So eternal life, but more like undead.
Is that the one on the heart or the one on the floor?
On the heart. A corruption of an Ong. The top is open. There is an eye in the center of it, of where the circle usually is, but it's a cat eye. It's like a slit, and it doesn't connect at the very top. That's kind of the way that it looks. This definitely gives you the feeling of undeath.
The other mark we found was, it was the same mark on an invitation I got to go to a masquerade ball with New Day Rejuvenation Spa. I don't know why they're the same. When I was there visiting, they did speak to me quite a bit about their belief in the Egyptian gods and goddesses and how important that is to their mission of uplifting women and making sure we don't just get thrown in the trash the second we're...
Was Patty a part of this New Day Rejuvenation year?
Oh, no, honey, let me tell you. Yes, she was. The first day that you all saw me, she leans in conspiratorially. I'm going to tell you this because we've been through so much together, and I don't relish anyone making fun or any kind of obtuse recognitions of things, even earnest recognitions of things, and then stares at Robbie for like a second too long. I'm very tender, you know, very sensitive. I know what you think, that I'm bulletproof, but I'm not. Patty Wells approached me in a bar and looked fantastic, and I was very upset, as you can understand. She gave me a little bottle of something special to rub on my face, and the rest of you saw how lovely I looked the next day. It was quick to wear off. I hurried home. I cried all night. I found out where I could find this place that manufactured this substance, and, well, I went for a visit. They were very welcoming, very kind, said that they'd been looking forward to me visiting. My agent, Richie, said that he had gotten in the way time and time again. For what reason, I have no idea, but, well, now I think I know. It might not be entirely up to snuff, so to speak.
You were doing snuff?
Anyway, I look fabulous now, and I think that's really the important part, that I continue looking good, and we just sweep this under the rug. And then she, like, shudders, remembering that that bloody mark was under the rug, kind of swoons a little bit and drinks more of her coffee.
For the record, Miss Evie, I did think you looked beautiful before the whatever goo they rubbed on your face. Just for the record, I don't think you need the goo.
I think she sets down both her drinks and reaches across the table to, like, put your hands in her hands and, like, looks at you with tears in her eyes.
The innocence of the young. You're a beautiful person, Robbie. You never change. Never.
Ooh, I love you, Candace. I thought that you were literally about to, like, say something so heartwarming, like, thank you so much, you're so sweet. He goes, oh, you sweet summer child.
I do love that Robbie is consistently told by most of you, this might not be the best place. This might not work out for you.
We're like, listen, we just want to get you out of here in one piece, okay? That's all we
really
want.
We're really trying to just save your...
No, Robbie's going to change it, damn it.
The other thing I'm trying to parse out is we seem to be dealing with Egyptian mythologies and Christian Catholic mythologies, and why the convergence?
Well, there are some overlapping pieces of Egyptian mythology and Catholicism.
And religions steal from each other all the time.
That part as well.
If you listened to War, what War was saying was that the concepts are universal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the manifestations that are different.
Why these two and why now and why us?
That's the part I'm still trying to figure out myself. I'm not 100% sure outside of Robbie and their dreamwalking. Is that what it...
I'm very confused, and I'm not used to being confused.
I have seen a woman. Beautiful woman. Breathtaking, really. Just lovely. She was... Her eyes glaze over like for a split second before she collects herself.
Imani's eyebrow quirks so far up her forehead. Like, I'm not going to address it right now because there's a lot going on, but I peeped it.
She was, I saw her outside New Day Rejuvenation when I was there. I was leaving. I saw her in my rearview mirror. And then I also saw her again outside of Patty Wells' home. She was standing in the rain. And I waved to her, but Belle couldn't see her, and I got quite frightened. But when I went inside and I was in her room, Patty's room, not Belle's, she was in the mirror. She introduced herself to me as Hathor, and as you know, War brought her name up. And Sekhmet, she asked me to reunite her with her sister.
Well, wait, so your hot lady said to find Sekhmet, and my hot lady said to stay away from Sekhmet.
No, not quite. My hot lady said Sekhmet would likely be finding me, and that I should call upon her when she's arrived.
It sounds like perhaps then Sekhmet is connected somehow with this New Day rejuvenation. I mean, look at the symbol here.
As you can see, this isn't the same symbol as that one, but we did see this symbol in the house as well. And I will admit, perhaps I, in my upset, I may have told the New Day Rejuvenation people that Patty Wells was the one who gave me the cream. She was supposed to give me two bottles, to be fair, and she only gave me one, which led me to look absolutely disgusting. So I went there for them to spruce me up and get me good as new. As you can see, I look lovely now. And that's really what matters. It doesn't matter what I said to them and that I threw Patty Wells under the bus because she's been throwing me under the bus for 35 years. So.
And just so you all know, the masquerade ball, I believe I said it was tomorrow.
Are we supposed to be at work right now?
Yeah.
Whoops.
The studios can't move without us, so.
That's true.
Listen, Belle, I love you, and we spent a wonderful 24 to 36 hours together. But also, you can't go to this, Belle. You know as well as I do you can't. And Robbie, it's...
Oh, I was fully not expecting to go. That I would be poison walking in there. No one wants me there.
Robbie and Imani, you can't go either. I'm what? Sorry. You're both too curious and also too fresh.
Isn't curious good, though? Because if we're trying to find information, we're not going to get it by just kind of hiding from it. No offense.
Robbie, I do not need you going out and asking people all manner of questions in the middle of a wonderful party where people are wearing fancy dress and masks. Lenore, however, I would like to invite you. In a few years, I'm sure they'll be after you just as they pursued me. And I'd like to get you in there before you're in it, so to speak.
I just wanted to say it was absolutely bold for you to even assume that I wanted to go in the first place. As far as I'm concerned, y'all have been the ones that have been seeing entities and gods and whatnot. I have my own shit that I have to worry about. So that was my long way of saying y'all on your own.
Ebony looks at Belle and like leans back in the chair and crosses her arms and sips her drink.
Belle, slowly her head turns towards Imani. She says, you have your own things to deal with? Well, no fucking kidding.
You have absolutely.
You have no idea what I know. Let's just put it that way.
Imani sits up in her seat You've never seen this look on her face before. Eyes narrow at Belle.
Really now? Good to know.
Look, we're not all the best of friends here. Let's just go ahead and say that right now. However, we do have some commonalities between us, and I say we bury the hatchet and figure out what it is before it destroys us, together or individually.
Seems like some of us are hell-bent on destroying us outside of this regardless. Isn't that right, Belle?
Oh, no, no. I just don't like when the hatchet is buried into somebody's hand, severing it and throwing it on a hospital bed.
What does that have to do with me?
Well, if you've noticed, my photographer hasn't been around. He's missing. He's also missing a hand, which was thrown on my hospital bed by someone you know.
Imani straightens herself up, but her eyes betray her for a bit before she steals herself again.
I guess there is some overlap here. Personally, I'm trying to figure out for myself.
I am not blaming you, but when you say you have stuff to take care of, again, I reiterate, no fucking kidding. Take care of your shit.
Right then, Penelope walks in and goes, guys, that was Danny calling about, I quote, where the fuck are you all? No one's here. And then a string of words that shouldn't ever be uttered again. We need to go to work.
Yes, we do need to go to work. Thank you so much for pointing that out. Everyone, please. Where's your staff? Alan, I think his name is. Alan? Aldrich?
Oh, can I help you, ma'am?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. We're going to need you to pack all of this up. Do you have a carafe you could put... And she, like, looks between the mimosa and the coffee and hands the mimosa over. Could you put this and the rest of it in a carafe for us?
Yes, absolutely, ma'am.
We're going to need a lot of help today.
I love Tagosis.
Tagosis.
He puts it all together for you, Tagosis, Jesus. We call Elon Musk's new cyber truck. Michelle called it a Truckalorian. Which is now officially what it is, a Truckalorian.
Yes,
a Truckalorian. It's fucking hilarious.
After shooting is done in the afternoon, where is everybody going to go? Vivian is going to have a conversation with Imani about work. We're going to do that real quick. But what would everybody like to do after work, after that conversation between her and Vivian happens?
I want to go back to Penelope's to go through her books.
Okay.
I am following Lenore like a little duckling. But also, I think while we're at work, Robbie would be looking for El Rojo, just the man in the red hat, to see if he's hanging around or if he's dipped.
He's dipped. Yeah.
I want to talk to Danny super fast.
So, Robbie, the day's going fine. You know that time is running out. You've done some writing, but I would imagine that it's probably pretty chaotic with everything going on. It's hard to concentrate when Jacques Couture is like, what about these lines and, you know, everything else? But your mind is on other things. You see Danny coming in and out of his office. What do you want to do?
I think when he goes in one time, I'm just going to put myself in the doorway.
Robbie, what can I do for you?
Is the red hat guy in today?
No, he called and said he was sick, said he wasn't coming in. It's kind of weird.
Has he ever done that before?
Nope.
You said that someone told you he had to work here, right? For reasons, and Robbie will, like, make their eyes really big and lean forward, trying and failing to kind of mimic what Evie did earlier.
Yes, he was assigned here by Tony Stanelli.
Why, I guess?
These are a lot of personal questions you're asking.
I'm aware. But at the same time, he's in our space and he was standing outside my door one day. And I didn't know what his deal was and it was weird and I'd been sleeping in there and he was just standing outside of it. So I just want to know what his deal is.
Okay. I don't own this studio. Tony Stanelli owns this studio. I was hired here after incurring some debt. I owe a lot of money to Mr. Stanelli. And so to work that debt off, I come in here and I run this place. I always wanted to be in movies. I was a car salesman. And this was kind of a nice change, you know, trying to work off the money I owe. And I've been told that Mr. Rojo was put here to make sure everything was running smoothly.
How do you feel about or that or
I think he's got these strange views and opinions of himself, of who he is. He thinks he's some kind of fighter or something. Like, he's not human. He told me he's not human. But, you know, crazy stuff that you're like, okay, this guy's got a gun, so I'm just going to nod my head. And
yes, very strange things to say.
Yeah.
By him.
Look, I just keep my head down and I keep the studio going. That's my job.
Does he ever make you mad? Like, really mad?
You all make me mad, but yes, he makes me mad too.
Okay, well, try not to do that.
I tell you what, I won't do that as much as long as you make sure that you're getting as much script written as possible.
I will do my best.
Well, we'll all do our best.
I won't ask you any more questions. I think you're getting annoyed with me, and also I think that if I say anything else, you won't like it. So I'm gonna leave.
There you go. See you later, kid. And he walks into his office and slams the door.
That was entirely useless. Well, not entirely. I'll tell everyone. How am I going to tell everyone this? What does this do? And just kind of mutters as they wander away.
After that, when everything's kind of, you know, settling down, Imani, Vivian comes up to you. Says, hey, how's everything going? Figured things out? I've got a job for you.
I think Imani was kind of in her own head and got startled when Vivian walked up to her. I have everything under control as best as I can. What's needed of me?
Well, there's some masquerade ball going on, and they want our performers to come in and put on different shows. It's a very exclusive party. It pays $1,000.
Well, I do have a few concerns, if you'd be so kind to appease them.
Absolutely.
Will they see my face?
No, you'll be part of the masquerade ball. You would have a mask on. All the performers would.
Who's supposed to all be there?
From what I'm told, Hollywood elite actors and actresses from all the different studios, producers. It's a Hollywood party, from what I'm told.
There is so much going on right now, but I also need that money more than anything else. Okay, I'll do it.
Okay. Perfect. I'll give you the address and everything. Just give me a second. Great to have you aboard. You're going to be going in with five other people, other actors. And so tomorrow, just show up here maybe in 2 or 3 hours so we can kind of go over what kind of stuff we're going to be doing for the show. It probably lasts about an hour altogether of just, but it's all just play. Like, we're going to be doing different play stuff in front of the group. And there'll be music going and this whole thing. It's supposed to feel, I guess, artistic. But we'll see.
I mean, it is an art form.
It is an art form. I agree. Let me get you that address.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So she walks off. Okay, so you're all going back to Penelope's, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you get back to Penelope's. She unlocks the bookcases. And you see that Easter is agitated by this. He's just kind of pacing around and yowling in the background and, you know, not very happy. She opens up the door and there's just this feeling of uneasiness that comes over all of you. It's almost like the doors were holding back some kind of energy. Let's do a cult roll really quick.
Whew. I got a 56 under my 60.
Nice.
Nope. Did not make it.
Yeah, me neither.
17 under 55.
Okay.
Not even close.
Yeah, not even, there's no point in even trying with this one. Yeah.
If you get close enough and you want to spend luck points, you do that. So that's the thing. Not everybody wants to spend that many luck points.
Yeah. No.
I mean, technically, I rolled a 17 over 5, but
if you want to spend them, you can, but it means your luck goes down.
And the way my shit's been going, I need all the goddamn luck I can get, so I'm going to just fail it. It's all right.
You're all looking through these books, and a lot of it's like, does anybody have like Latin or Greek or any other languages that they read in?
I have Spanish.
A little French.
A little French, okay. That would make sense. Those things are Latin adjacent.
Yeah, if you can read Spanish, you can read French.
Yeah. What about you, Candace? Did you miss the roll completely, right?
I got a 98, Wes.
Oh.
Don't even look at me. don't even come over here.
I'm not even here.
The dice were like, why do you think this would work? I'm too away from it being horrible. Like, just.
Belle is over across the room reading a Vanity Fair. She's like, there's nothing in here.
I didn't miss it that badly. Mine was 26 over 10.
Yeah.
But 98, oof.
Lenore and Robbie, you two are looking through all the books. Now, these are large, hand-drawn books, really delicate leather spines and everything else. They're very old. It's like monks put these things together in the Middle Ages kind of feel to them.
Like illuminated texts?
Illuminated texts, right. It's very large. It's probably like 15 inches wide, you know, high and like 9 to 10 inches wide. And on one of the pages is that symbol of corrupted Ankh on it. And there is all of these hieroglyphs on both sides. And at the bottom, it just says, I will return. You're looking at the symbols and you're realizing that you're going to have to figure out the hieroglyphs on the side of it to figure out what they all mean. And that might take a little time, obviously. You're going to have to get in touch with someone who knows the language a little bit.
I don't know if there's a role for it or if it would be a luck roll, but I imagine with all of the Lenore's creepy stuff that she may have run into an Egyptologist with, like, she worked on a mummy movie or something.
Sure. I will give you a luck roll.
Okay. Oh, I did not get my luck roll at all. I rolled a 90 over my 60. Damn.
Nope.
I was hopeful it would have been cool, but you know,
Robbie, you see this as well, and the thing that pops into your head is Bessette, but you have to be asleep to talk to them.
Okay, I have a kind of wild solution that may or may not work, but maybe if we write down all of the things that are in this book that we need to understand, and I talk to Easter and I go to sleep, maybe I can talk to Bessette. And she can tell me what's going on. I don't know if that's a actual reality, but it might work.
I don't have a better plan.
Well, the other thing, you guys would know that there are Egyptologists that you could go to.
Can I make a library use roll to look for a book that might like be a bridge that might clarify things, maybe?
Absolutely. Let's do that.
Hey, this is before that big fire in that LA library in the 80s. The book should still be there.
Yeah.
Ah, man. I got an 81 over 38. So.
Okay. You're going to have to talk to somebody or you're going to have to, like you said, talk with Bessette.
I don't mind trying. I've never really actually attempted to call out to her, but I'm not scared to try, I don't think.
You have to sleep at some point anyway, and it's already the evening.
We can just write down all the hieroglyphs that we need to try to understand. And maybe if I put them in my pocket when I'm asleep, they'll be in my pocket when I'm in dream world, maybe?
Anything's possible at this point.
I mean, I'm around Belle, so anything's possible.
I know you hate me, dear. It's okay.
You've given me good reason, though, and I think that's fair.
That is fair.
Penelope says, well, okay, I don't quite know everything that's going on, but it's, from what you're saying, worth a try.
I wanted to ask Penelope what that door is, the big door.
Oh, that's a family heirloom. It's ridiculous. It's a family heirloom from an old place that my family owned a long time ago and that was given to me by my grandmother.
The door or what's behind the door?
The door.
Well, what is behind the door?
Behind the door is my personal study it's where I go to just kind of take a breath, you know?
Any helpful books in there?
No, I don't keep any of this kind of stuff in there. Probably is a romance novel or something in there, but
I'm not sure I trust Penelope.
Fair.
Is there something I can do to try and parse out whether or not she is being truthful with us?
I'm going to say you don't need to make a roll. She is not being 100% truthful.
Okay.
Can I make a persuade roll to have her show us the room?
Sure.
I would also like to make a persuade roll, if at all possible.
But it's a hard roll because she's very anti you guys getting near that door. So that means it means half of whatever your persuade is. You have to get under half.
Okay, under half. Ha, 29 under 30, baby.
Let's go. Believe it or not, Ebony does not have a high persuasion.
That's weird. Do you have charm?
Do you have intimidate?
I have charm and intimidate.
I do have intimidate.
Charm and intimidate as well.
Yeah, so do I.
She goes, why is it so interesting for you to see my personal study?
Well, it seems that you, in some way, shape, or form, are one source of information about all of this outside of everything else. Forgive us if we're, what's the word I'm looking for? Hellbent on trying to figure this out. No offense.
I'd really like you not to invade my privacy. She will let you do it because you guys are being persuasive, but she's pushing back on it, trying to appeal to your better nature.
I hear you, but I mean, just this morning, you entered a conversation that we were clearly trying to keep as quiet as possible and just sat right down. And while, yes, this is your home, everybody has a reasonable right to privacy, especially young Robbie here.
You can now move forward if you want to just walk over there. You get there and the door's locked. She goes, all right, fine. I really wish this hadn't been something you wanted to do. And she unlocks the door and opens it. And there's this hallway and then an opening into a larger room. She goes, go ahead.
Please lead the way. We don't want to enter without you.
Okay. So she walks ahead of you all and then she gets into the main room and you all come in. And it's basically a stone room, and there are chains and shackles on one of the walls. Kind of looks like a medieval dungeon. Alan, the butler, slams the door shut. Penelope goes, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't want you in here. I can't have you knowing what's going on. And then she starts to change.
Fucking damn it.
Long hair starts coming out of her face and her mouth starts to elongate into a wolf's mouth. And that is where we're going to stop this episode.
I knew you were going to fucking end it here, Wes, you monster.
Wes, no.
You fucking monster.
I'm so excited.
Werewolves of London.
I bet she looks sexy. Yeah.
She's probably hot.
We can use the shackles.
Listen, that's already up Imani's line of work, baby.
Dual purpose.
It ain't nothing but a regular day at the office at this point.
Guess what, Imani? This next episode, you get to be the top.
Lucky you.
Both of you to assume I never was.
So, yeah. That was fun. I didn't think you guys were going to force your way into that. You kind of forced her hand.
Are all the books about lycanthropy, Wes?
No, they're not, but it's hard. I don't want to say something that will ruin another show, but if you don't know why she would turn into a werewolf, you should go back and listen to Otherworld London. I'll say that.
Neat.
But it all kind of ties back. Yeah, that was great. I had a lot of fun. Thank you all so much. Let's find out where all these wonderful people are. Let's start with Candace.
Hello, everybody. I have been Candace. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace Magnificent everywhere else. Find me on Fable Scraps every Friday afternoon and Monday evening for APs. You can also hear me over at Bloom and Blight if you're enjoying podcasts, as well as Bookhound Bounty Hunters right here on 12 Sided Stories. For other updates, please just take a look at my social media, and thank you for listening.
Hey, I'm Lev. You can find me on Twitter at LegoM2RS, or Instagram and Blue Sky at Lev.RS23. If you're not tired of hearing me talking constantly, you can hear me over at Mayday Roleplay, where we are picking up our Delta Green campaign and also our Orpheus campaign, or in various podcasts or video games. Cool.
Hey, I was totally prepped and ready for this. Hi, everyone. I'm Sam. You can find me all across the interwebs at Lust for Life X, LustForLifeX. That's damn near everywhere on social media. You can catch me on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Transplanter RPG's channel doing our second main campaign, The Chaos Protocol. You can also catch me here as well as on Bookhound Bounty Hunters as well with some other nice friends that I'm playing with today. I'm lucky enough to doing a bunch of other really cool, fun work. Our Indiegogo for SS Bad Ship on Do You Validate has went up. We have met our goal. We're now $150 away from our first stretch goal. So I'm super excited about that. You know, that'll be coming up. And just a bunch of other stuff that I'm doing and working on now and in the upcoming future. You can follow me on socials to find all that stuff.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me everywhere online as @strangelikethat. Check it out. Do all the things. Do it.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials @Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me @PlateMailGames on Twitter and Blue Sky and all the other places. You can find the show @12, the number 12, Sided Stories on all the socials, or at our website, 12sidedstories, all written out, all one word, .com, where we have links to our Discord, which you should definitely join, and also to Patreon, which you should definitely join. And if you want to help out the show, or you can give us a shout out, or you can give us a review on your favorite platform, any of those things is very helpful. You can do one or all. We'd love it. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a lot of fun. And they are trapped in a room with a werewolf. So we're going to see where that all goes. Talk to you next time.
Bye.